Diane McCarthy is based in Whakatane. She is local democracy reporter for the Eastern Bay of Plenty, based at the Whakatane Beacon. Morena, Diane, how are you?
Kia ora. I'm good, thank you.
That's good. Now, long-term plan submissions, all the councils around the country going through these. There's been a plethora of submissions landing on the desk of the Whakatane District Council.
Absolutely. The Whakatane District Council has received about 1,000 submissions in its long-term plan, more than it's ever had from any other consultation process in my living memory. While they haven't been able to give exact figures on the number of submissions it has received, because of quality, they're still going through some quality assurance processes before they can confirm the exact number. The council was prepared to say it was approximately 1,000, and about 70 have indicated that they wish to speak to their submissions. And the hearing's been held at for the long term plan, 2024 to 2034. It'll be held over 2 days from 9 a.m. Thursday, and arrangements have been made because those submissions have to be heard over that 2 day period. Some arrangements have been made for the hearings to continue into the evening if necessary. And one possible reason for the higher than usual submissions may be the massive 17.1% average rates rise that's been proposed. A residents' organisation has actually been formed, Whakatane Action Group, or WAG, they're calling themselves, and that has been loudly vocal against what they perceive as the council's wasteful spending. Also, there's been a huge push from the council for people to submit, asking, for record numbers of consultation events and drop-in sessions, etc. And I'm also expecting a high number of submissions from our district's youth. Whakatane Youth Council has run a program in one of our local high schools to encourage students to make submissions. In some cases, teachers have incorporated the submission writing into their lesson plans. So that's something interesting that's been happening.
Get them started young.
Yeah. One of the items in the long-term plan that would probably be of most interest to youths is the master plan for the Rex Morpeth Recreation Hub. The hub consists of the Whakatane War Memorial Centre and about 17 hectares of surrounding reserve land where most of the town's sports fields are located, right in the heart of the township. We're very lucky to have that. And the council has said the hall itself and the rugby park grandstand are both desperately in need of maintenance. And, in order for them to continue to be used, they're going to need around a minimum of $12.5 million spent on them. But they've come up with a plan, a master plan, which has a total spend of around $105.7 million, staged over 10 years, which is part of the long-term plan proposal. And I've asked people to make submissions on this. So I would have thought it'd be most likely that the majority of youth submissions would be in favour of this, although I could be wrong. With the bulk of the expense expected to come in 2029, 2030, it could be this younger generation will end up paying the bulk of it. They could all be out, working, paying rates by that stage. Council staff have said if this master plan isn't adopted, like I said, it could be, $12.5 million needed to be spent to keep the bare minimum done to keep the hall and our little theatre functioning.
What's the cost to ratepayers?
Sorry?
What's the cost to ratepayers if it is adopted?
Well, they've assured the community that if their master plan goes ahead, it's only actually going to, in the first year or two, it's only going to add an extra 3 cents a week onto the average rates rise in the, it'll be in the, towards 2030 that the bulk of the cost will be, and even then it will probably only be, up to less than a dollar a week per ratepayer.
There's been some consultations on this. There's some skepticism out there. Is there a bit of a trust issue with the council at the moment?
There is, at a consultation at the Whakatane War Memorial Centre last week, it was attended by around 200 people, possibly a few more. It was clear that many felt that the master plan was something that Whakatane District just couldn't afford right now. And lack of trust in the council to take submitters' view into account was voiced. The ugly head of the $6 million council office redevelopment that was completed last year was also raised. That was the outcome of a previous long-term plan consultation that had also received a lot of submissions. The council had voted against the bulk of the submissions to opt for the more expensive option for the redevelopment, and many who submitted against it have not really forgiven that, and it's constantly raised anytime anyone's critical of the council. It's one of the things that comes up. One speaker asked the council whether they would listen if they had the majority of submitters against the redevelopment. So, one speaker said, "Why should we trust you?" Which she was, received a resounding applause from most of the audience, 200 people there. One of the council managers attempted to explain to the people there that the decisions that they make don't necessarily hinge on the quantity of submissions received for or against them. As the elected members needed to take into account the entire community's wants, needs, and well-being, but that wasn't well received.
All right. Now, speaking of which, there's 2 or 3 minutes left. Some controversy over the introduction of Kawerau fluoride. Some objections from some quarters.
Yeah, the Kawerau District Council's been copping a lot of flak recently about their plans to introduce fluoride into its town water supply. That they need to do that by the end of June, because Kawerau is one of 14 councils nationwide that's issued a direct was it issued a directive from the Director General of Health to introduce fluoride into its water supply. If it doesn't, it could face fines of up to $200,000 plus potentially an extra $10,000 for every day afterwards that it fails to do so from July 1st. And the council has taken steps to do so, and it's done the right thing by the health department, and it expects to have the necessary processes in place by July 1st. In December last year, they were presented with a petition signed by 722 people asking them not to do it. In the past month, there's been two more deputations to meetings. One of the speakers stated there were people there prepared to take legal recourse against the council if they do put it in the water. She was accompanied by the Nelson lawyer Sue Gray, who's quite well known for her campaign against the government's COVID-19 measures. Ms Gray offered to provide the council with some legal advice about their obligations to the community. They mentioned that four out of the other 14 councils who had been granted an extension to the directive and asked that Kawerau also asked for an extension, Mayor Failing Turner, who said she didn't want her ratepayers having to face the added burden of fines for not having to take in the steps specified by the Ministry of Health. And she acknowledged that the council's position of being in between a rock and a hard place, so to speak.
Thank you, Diane. Diane McCarthy is based in Whakatane at the Beacon there. She is a local democracy reporter for the, just check out, Eastern Bay of Plenty.